I'm sure, like me, there are many times during the week when you have a job to do, and then there's that phone call, then there's that rap at the door, then there's that ping on your phone, and you think, oh, I have so much to do, I have so much on my to-do list, and yet here is this or here is that, and you feel hassled because of the interruption to your day. Here in Luke chapter 8, we have Jesus on the way to a girl who's dying. And we're clearly told that the girl is dying. And yet, on the way to this house where this girl is dying, there is an interruption. But for Jesus, an interruption is not the way you and I see an interruption. Oh, can't believe this. For Jesus, the interruption is a divine appointment. When something can come out of it, when something can be done, when some situation can be addressed. And here tonight we see this with this woman who interrupts the journey that Jesus is making on the way to a girl who is dying. And Jesus stops and Jesus heals this woman who has been hemorrhaging blood for these 12 years. So let's think about this woman who appears to be just an interruption, and yet here is an opportunity for the grace of God to operate in this woman's life and for this woman to come to know the power of Christ for herself. First thing I want to say is that this is a woman diseased. We're told in verse 43 that she had had a flow of blood for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. Doctors speculate on what her problem was, but 12 years is a long time to have been bleeding. Losing your blood is not good. And the constant cleansing too must have been wearing and effectively cut her off from people. There was a deeper dimension to this as well, because we're told in Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 25 that when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she shall be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Any bed she lies on while her discharge continues will be unclean, as is her bed during her monthly period, and anything she sits on will be unclean, as during her period. Whoever touches them will be unclean. He must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will be unclean till evening. So in addition to physical ailment, this woman has spiritual ailment. She's got uncleanness in the eyes of the law of God. She is impure, and she has to live apart from people because anything she touches or anyone she touches becomes unclean in the eyes of God as well. And we might look at this tonight and we might say, well, here is a lesson on what it means to be a sinner in the eyes of God. For sin is a disease. A long-term disease. This woman has had this bleeding for 12 years. But for you and for me, sin is a disease that hits our lives from the moment of our conception in our mother's wombs. And left to ourselves, there's nothing we can do about our sin. Sin makes us unclean, impure in the eyes of God, untouchable as far as God is concerned, and puts distance between us and God. The longer we leave it, the worse it gets. Like the woman now after 12 years, the sin is just, her blood is just leaking away. And in our heart of hearts as well, the longer we leave sin, we feel our lives leaking away. And this sin also is all-encompassing. It's not just one particular part of her that has a problem. Her whole body is unclean. And for you and for me, we may have individual sins that are obvious at times. But actually, we're all unclean. Our hearts are unclean. Our souls are unclean. Our minds, everything about us. The theologians talk about total depravity. Not that we're as bad as we could be, but that every single part of us in some way or other has been affected by sin and leaves us cut off from God. And the world, of course, knows that the world is messed up. I mean, you don't need to look too far in the lives, and you see lives that are messed up. And we look into society, we look into families, and lots of people have messed up lives. And the world says, well, okay, to deal with the problem of this messed up life, let's come up with a few solutions. One of the biggest solutions that the world comes up with to dealing with messed up lives is education. If only people were educated more, then sin would be cured. So education, education, education is the answer. And yet you go amongst some of the most educated people in society, the professors, the university professors, the professionals at the top of their tree, and what do you find amongst those people? You find petty jealousies and power struggles. You find alcoholism and adultery and pornography. You find financial irregularities. You find pride. You find foolishness, the same as everybody else, and they're the most educated. Okay, says the world, your life that's messed up in some way or other, well, we don't want to admit there's any spiritual problem. We need medication. So you need to go to the doctor, and people go to the doctor, and yet doctors will tell you that so many of their patients, their problems are not physical, their problems are spiritual. People are living with guilt, how to ease a guilty conscience, and they're looking for a tablet that will fix it, but a tablet can't fix. Okay, says the world, well, if it's not education, if it's not medication, what about a bit of reformation, a bit of religion? Turning over a new leaf, maybe starting to go to church and getting your life fixed up a little bit as well. And yet people do that, and they maybe start attending church, and they go to a church, and maybe they become regular attenders, and that's good as far as it goes. But education in and of itself will not cure the sin-sick soul. For Jesus said, unless a man is born again, or born all over again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. So this woman is a representation tonight in her disease, of the disease of sin that affects every single one of us. Where can right relationship with God be found? How can the disease of sin be dealt with? Well, we're told. Verse 43, she's determined to get to Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Why is she determined? She's determined to get to Jesus because the crowd is pressing around him. Peter says in verse 45, Master, the multitudes surround you and press upon you. In Luke chapter 12, we're told that when Jesus was preaching, many thousands trod upon one another. And you remember when Jesus was preaching at Lake Galilee, he was in danger of being pushed into the water. So he got into a boat, pushed the boat a little bit out into the water, and he preached from the boat as a pulpit. Here was also a sizable crowd, and probably keeping closest to him, as a kind of bodyguard, I would say, were the 12 disciples. So the woman has grounds for holding back the crowds, her uncleanness, but she's determined to get in there. She's determined to touch him, and she believes that he can make me well. And she's encouragement, I think. As I was thinking about this, you know, she's encouragement to all who think they're unimportant, or to all who think they're insignificant, or to all who think they're too sinful or too far from God, that God would ever be interested in them. This woman is determined to get through to Jesus. She is determined to get up close and personal. She is determined, as the Puritans used to say, to close in on Jesus. But she's also a warning that just believing in Jesus in and of itself isn't enough. She believes in him. She has faith in him. That's why she's making this journey to him. But if she had just believed in him, if she had just kept her distance, it wouldn't have brought an end to her separation. It wouldn't have brought her cleanliness in the eyes of God. So she needs to do more than just simply believing that Jesus was able to help her. So she's diseased, she's determined, but she's delivered, verse 43, because she's there and she's subject to her bleeding. No one can heal her, but she comes up behind him and touches the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped, says verse 44. The King James Version, it famously says, Jesus' comment is, virtue has gone out of me. People sometimes ask the question, how can I connect with Jesus Christ? He's unseen. And the answer is that Christ comes to us in his word. We have to believe the word, take him at his word as it comes to us. Paul says in Romans 10, the word is near you. It is on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The question is, do you believe the word? And have you received the word into your life? Because it is by believing and by receiving that we are delivered from sin and uncleanness and impurity in the eyes of God. And we take our place truly in the house of God. John chapter 1 says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Notice, who believed in him and who received him, he gave power to become children of God. Think of a bride for a moment. Think of a bride resplendent in white on her wedding day. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about the church as the bride of Christ. He says that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. I don't know if this woman was married or not. I'd guess probably not. Because with such a horrible bleeding, how could she have a normal marriage? And any man marrying her would remain perpetually unclean. So I'd guess she wasn't married, but here was a man who wanted her. Here was a man who healed her. Here was a man who made her clean and pure and holy without blemish. She reaches out to touch him, and virtue comes out of Jesus and heals her. In the words of the hymn, she is ransomed, she is healed, she is restored, she is forgiven. And what she is showing us here this evening is this, that faith is touching Christ. Faith is touching the Lord, who is able to transform your life, who is able to take your sin unto himself. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live by righteousness. There's a transfer taking place here. She is unclean, she touches the clean one, and his cleanliness becomes her cleanliness. And her uncleanliness is transferred to him. And she becomes, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, without spot or wrinkle, that she might be holy and without blemish. I think of another case in point, a man this time, John Newton, the eventual author of the hymn Amazing Grace. As a young man, John Newton lived a very unclean life. I'll not go into the details, but it was impure to the nth degree. He was in the Navy and on board a ship in Loch Swilly off the coast of County Donegal. He was caught in an Atlantic storm, and he thought he was going to die at any moment. Up until this point in his life, all that he had ever said about God was a blasphemy. But for the first time in years, as that storm was raging and he thought the ship was going down, he cried out against the wind and against the waves, Lord, have mercy upon us. And for the first time in his life, it wasn't blasphemy that had come from his lips. It was in some sense a confession of faith. He wasn't converted at that moment, but it was at that moment he began to search for God, or rather God began to search for him. And eventually God came into his life and he lived an altogether different life, even becoming a preacher of the gospel, hymn writer, and campaigner for an end to the slave trade. He too was ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. By believing, by touching the Lord, by putting his faith into Christ. Just as the woman here demonstrates for us that faith is touching the Lord. So she's diseased, she's determined to get to Jesus, she's delivered in an instant. But lastly, there's a sense of disclosure here. She has to disclose herself to the crowd, verse 46. She Jesus said, "Who touched me?" They all denied it. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Lovely, precious word, isn't it? "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I mentioned this morning Dr. Billy Graham, who died this week, and it was one of the features of Billy Graham's great campaigns that at the end of the service, he invited people to come to the front to commit their lives to Christ as a statement of committing their lives to Christ. And many people disagreed with that because the danger was that people thought just by coming forward, they've been converted. But I heard him preaching on, do you remember cassette tapes? I have a few cassette tapes in the house of Billy Graham's preaching. And he says in one of those tapes, if I remember correctly, he says the reason why he calls people forward is because in Scripture, when Christ called people, he called them publicly. And here's the woman that he pointed to as his example. She had an embarrassing condition, and yet he turns around, and in the presence of all the people, he says, "Who touched me?" He makes her confess that he had turned her life around, that he had saved her. And this challenged me as I was thinking about it, because so often, isn't it the case, we live in a world where people think Jesus Christ wouldn't say boo to a goose. We think of, we live in a world where people have this image of Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Surely he'd never make us say anything or do anything we wouldn't feel comfortable with or take us out of our comfort zones. We just want to stay warm and cozy. Yet here is a woman with an embarrassing problem, and Jesus makes her publicly declare her faith and also say what she has been delivered from. She declared, verse 47, in the presence of all the people, why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Christ makes us, you see, confess our past. To become a Christian, you have to confess your sin. It is about repenting of your past and of your sinfulness. Sometimes Christ does ask us to do uncomfortable things, difficult things, things we would really rather not do, Lord. But if the Lord is asking you to do it, you have to do it. And always Christ expects us to confess him. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, says Romans 10, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And she did that. She did it publicly in front of the crowd, and she fully disclosed all that the Lord had done for her. As we close tonight, I wonder, did she come to thank God for her 12-year bleed? Because it was because of that condition that she had come to Christ. Psalm 119 says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." This pain in her life, this uncleanness in her life, this awareness of the sin in her life had driven her to Jesus. But the point of the power of Christ was, yes, he had afflicted her, but he had afflicted her in order to heal her. And when we're convicted of our sins, when we feel ourselves laboring under a burden of uncleanness and under a burden of being burdened down by our sin and our sense of not being right with God, it is God dealing with us that we might go to Christ. So here's my question. Have you gone to Christ? If you touched him by faith. The just shall live by faith, says the Bible. And she is a clear example of faith. It wasn't his clothes that healed her. Some people revere things like the Turin Shroud, supposedly the burial cloth of Christ. But it wasn't the clothes that had healed the woman. It was Christ who had healed the woman. And if we get into revering things like the Turin Shroud, we put something between us and Christ. It is Christ and Christ alone that heals. And faith in him and in him alone, a kind of a bare faith, if I could put it like that. So let me ask you tonight, what about you? Maybe you're a woman tonight who's aware of being unclean in the eyes of God. Your sin separates you from God. Your sin makes you not right in the eyes of God. Here's a woman who shows you how to be saved. To put your faith into Christ. He is able to save you. You can't save yourself. He will save you. He is the one who made purification for sins, as we heard this morning. Not one particular sin, but all sin. And salvation is found in him. Or maybe you're a hidden disciple tonight. You've been converted, but you're hiding in the crowd. Christ shows you you have, in the words of Mary, to tell out my soul, the greatness of the Lord. And maybe it's time for you to step out of the shadows, out of the crowd, and own him to all and sundry. And as I finish, isn't it lovely where Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You're a daughter now, a child of God. In the family of God, no longer alienated, no longer separated, no longer cut off. You're now daughter in my house. Your faith has healed you. Healing comes through faith. And go in peace. The Greek experts tell us go in peace can be translated go into peace. Go into a new life. A life of peace within yourself. A life of peace with God. A life of peace with the people around you, no longer contaminating those people. This physical and spiritual peace was hers, as well as cleanliness and a sense of being whole in the eyes of God. And all because of the Savior, all because of his power, all because of his grace, all because of his mercy, that he allowed people to come and touch him. Remember, she came up behind him. She didn't come to the front and ask for an audience. She came up, he allowed her to come and touch him. No matter how you come tonight, you might come at him sideways, you might come at him frontways, you might come at him from behind, however you're coming, the point is that you come and touch him. And his power is such that he heals and he says, go in peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the beautiful Savior, and how, Father, this woman reached out in the midst of her uncleanness and in the midst, Lord God, of her just messed up circumstances. She reached out, and we thank you that Jesus, his power, just cleansed her, healed her, and turned her life around. And we thank you that still today, Lord God, no matter what our backgrounds, no matter what baggage we come with, Jesus is still the one who touches, who cleanses, the one who turns lives around. And our Father, we thank you that through the Savior, we have new life, a peace, whole life, peaceful, whole life. And we pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to live that life. Those of us who know Christ and those of us who don't, Lord, help us to find it soon before it's too late. Hear us, our Father, as we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.